Number 201. Grace, 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Hymn number 201. Let us read from the Word of God in the book of the Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation, chapter 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribes of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be unto our God for ever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Let us pray. Most holy Lord God Almighty, Oh, we do pray and ask for thy most gracious help. So we have been spared and favoured in thy great mercy to gather together around thy word this time. Oh, we do pray for thy most gracious help and presence, and for the precious gift and outpouring and indwelling of thy Holy Spirit of truth. And oh, we do pray, Lord, that we, few poor sinners unworthy of thy notice, might be favoured and enabled to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and all that we might see Jesus, and all that we might see no man save Jesus only, and all that thou hast open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, we do pray that thou sendest thy word, and send it to our hearts and into our lives. Oh, we do pray that we might hear thy voice, and that we do pray, Lord, that thy word may have an entrance into our hearts, it might give life unto our souls. Oh, and we do pray, Lord, that thou shine upon us from on high. Oh, thou scatter our darkness. Oh, we do pray, thou who art the light of life. Oh, thou who art the sun of righteousness. Thou hast arise upon us with healing in thy wings. We would see Jesus. Oh, hide not thyself from us. O Lord, we do beseech of thee. It may be with us as we read in the prophet, and they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Oh, we do pray it might be so. Most gracious God, save us from our sins. Save us from ourselves. Oh, we do pray. Lord, I know we have to come as we are. Oh, we do pray that we might know that all our sins, which are so many, might know that they are all forgiven. Oh, they might be washed and made whiter than the snow, thy most precious blood. Oh, they might be made meet for the kingdom of heaven. Oh, that thou hast come quickly. Oh, that thou hast delivered us from ourselves. Oh, that thou hast come and visit us with thy salvation. Oh, Lord, speak, we pray. Lest if thou be silent unto us, we shall become like them that go down into the pit. But, oh, Lord, we do pray that we might know what the psalmist wrote, but God shall redeem my soul from the grave and from the power of the grave. So we ask for thy blessing. We ask that thy word might go forth with power. We ask that thy blessing may attend this assembly. Thou knowest, Lord, we are not worthy. Oh, but we pray that we might be favoured with true and living faith. We may come up to the house of God. Oh, that we do pray. We may have that portion that the disciples did. Then were they glad when they saw the Lord. So we do pray, Lord, that we might be favoured thus to worship thee. Oh, thou knowest what help we need. Thou knowest what mercy we need. Oh, thou knowest what grace we need. Oh, Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, what strength we need. What courage we need, Lord. Oh, not to be strong in ourselves. Oh, that we might be know thy strength, thee to strengthen us. We might be able to do all things that we shall need, have need to do. Oh, that our eyes may look straight on and eyelids straight before us. We do pray, Lord, as I remember any in any trouble, any in any sickness, or where it is thy goodwill. Grant those healing, strengthening mercies, we pray. Oh, Lord, we pray that we might know that word and the blessed power of it, where there is that felt need, Lord. As the psalmist prayed, he may not be, as it were, cut off. But, Lord, what thou said, we read, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, we pray it might be so. But, Lord, thou knowest all things. We do especially pray, Lord, for those who are coming down. We're to the end of life's journey. Oh, we do pray at the evening time. maybe light. Oh, we do pray. We'll be thankful, oh Lord, where indeed it is so with thy people. And especially would we desire to commend to thee the dear pastor of this cause of truth. Oh, we do pray for him in his last days. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that thou'st be with him till the appointed time shall come, when thou shalt come to gather him. And we pray, Lord, that he might be granted to abundant entrance into thy everlasting kingdom. Oh, what a great thing that shall be. And we pray, Lord, then, as member all whom we should pray for, we pray for this church and people, oh, that they may know thy help and thy blessing. Oh, that they may know that thine eye is upon them. Oh, Lord, they may know that thou art the head of the church, that they are thy body. Oh, we do pray. It might be so with us each in our, wherever we are, Lord, all thy dear people. And we pray, Lord, then for thy one church, the churches associated in this land, Lord. We do pray for them and thy dear servants also. They might know thy blessing and thy help, as thou hast helped them hitherto. Oh, but Lord, grant there may yet be those further tokens. Oh, that thy work may appear in many hearts, we'd rejoice indeed where, oh, we see the work of God. Oh, in its appearing. Oh, as the tender blade springs up. Oh, but Lord, we pray. Oh, are there not, oh, we do pray, Lord, for those that shall be gathered in, those that shall return to Zion with weeping and supplications. We do pray, Lord, sovereign grace, we plead. Thy work, Lord, thy blessed work, holy, we do pray it might appear. And we pray for the cause of truth back home in England, and thy dear people there, those we have left behind. Oh, we do pray, Lord, for thy blessing upon thy one church. And we pray, Lord, for this land and nation, and for our own nation and the nations of the earth. Oh, we do pray thou hast been merciful unto us. We have sinned and come short of thy glory. Oh, we are shame and confusion of face belongeth unto us. But unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercies. Oh, that thou wouldst hear the cry of thy people. Oh, that thou arise to hear the cries, Lord, of thy people, and arise for our deliverance. Oh, we do pray, oh Lord, but what can we expect? Oh, we pray, Lord, that we may know what the psalmist said, my soul, wait thou only upon God. My expectation is from him. And we do pray that thou hast come leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills. Thou say unto our soul that thou art our salvation. As the psalmist prays, so we'll pray. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. And we would desire to acknowledge thy great and tender and many mercies towards us, O Lord, of which we are not worthy the least of them. Oh, we pray thou continue unto us thy loving kindness. Lord, we dare not deny thy goodness both to man and beast, thy goodness even unto us in our lives, thy goodness to us hitherto, especially if we may have tasted that thou art gracious, our hope is that thou art precious to us. So, Lord, we pray that thou help us to raise an Ebenezer, though we're not worthy. And please do help us now as we turn to thy word. Oh, Lord, pray that the people may not starve. Oh, I know it's how impossible it is with us. But, Lord, nothing is impossible with thee. Oh, feed us with Christ, the living bread. Oh, give us to drink. We do pray of that living water. Oh, we do pray. Thou hast led us to the fountain. Oh, have mercy upon us, O God. As we'd ask these great mercies, forgive us, Lord, for, oh, where we fail in asking. But oh, we do pray as we often sometimes try to pray. Oh, please do help us to begin to pray without ceasing for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now sing hymn number 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hymn number 462. in dependence upon the help of God. Direct your prayerful attention to the book of the Revelation, chapter 7, and I'll read verses 13 and 14. Revelation chapter 7, I'll read verses 13 and 14. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." He said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, to wash their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Particularly, it is verse 14. Just came to us as we were walking a few days back. "These are they which came out of great tribulation, to wash their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb." John here saw a great wonder. So great was the wonder that John did see. Oh, that he could not fully comprehend what it was that he saw, so glorious it was. Why, a great multitude which no man could number, but oh, clothed in white, shining, glorious garments. Why, singing an everlasting song. Oh, what glory he saw. What a glorious multitude. What glorious attire. Oh, what a glorious song. Oh, and he fell down, as it were. And the angel, and one of the elders answered and said unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they?" What a great question it is, friends. You know, I want to first of all contrast this great multitude with those who we read of in the end of chapter 6. At the end of chapter 6, we read of another multitude. It is seemingly a very great multitude, friend. And you know, the multitude that we read of at the end of chapter 6 are a multitude of sinners. But the multitude we read of, clothed in white garments in glory, they are a multitude of saved sinners. But to come to this multitude in at the end of chapter 6, we read of them. "And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men." Oh, may the Lord help us to lay this to heart. "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men." Oh, how the rich men, friends, would give anything they could to throw away their riches. Why, they would give the whole world to throw away the world which they have gained. To solemn case is that. Oh, they would give the whole universe. Oh, if they could throw away that which they had. Oh, that which they sought after, that which they clave unto in the earth. Oh, their possessions. Oh, now their possessions, as it were, testified against them. See, this is the meaning. And the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men are not just a rich friend. I mean the rich in this world. But we read every bondman and every free man. In short, it seems that near the whole multitude of the earth's inhabitants are here gathered. Ah, friend, think not it an easy thing to be gathered into glory. Oh, this is our natural assembly here. This is the place where sinners must needs be gathered to. Sinners who are not saved from their sins. Sinners who shall remain as sinners. Oh, in all its ugly hue, in all its deformity, in all its wickedness, in all its guilt, against a holy, heart-searching God. But consider their plight. Hid themselves. Oh. Hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. See what great disparity there is between a wretched, deformed, ugly sinner and King Jesus, who's coming to judge the world in righteousness. Now, friends, I want to say another thing. You know, we read that every mouth will be stopped before him in judgment. Why, even those who've never heard of the blessed, holy name of Jesus, they shall be brought in guilty. Why? Because the creation of God testified to them that God is good. Yet they sought him not. They repented not of their sins, of their evil, of their idolatry. Yet all the flowing rivers, all the refreshing showers, all the bountiful fields testify to them of the goodness of God. Friend, oh, how solemn. You see, that which they had not seen, they shall now consider. Ah, there when they shall see King Jesus. That which the fields of the earth, oh, that which the flowing fountain, the upbubbling fountains and flowing rivers, that which the rain that fell upon the just and the unjust did teach them, they shall now see. Oh, as they shall bow their knee before him. One, their judge, as we sometimes sing, wearing their nature, the man, Christ Jesus. Oh, if it be so with those who have not heard of him and yet repented not, say, what should it be like for those who have heard of him and yet turned away? Oh, what horror upon horror shall fill the souls of those who have turned away from the lovely, holy Saviour, King Jesus. You see, it is no small thing to have heard of the precious name of Jesus. Oh, may God give us repentance. We need it, don't we? Oh, so hard are our hearts. Oh, may God grant that we might bow the knee before him while it is called today. Ere he come in his train of judgment. But this, you see, they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. See how desperate was their case, their state. They'd rather have the crushing mountains fall on them than to appear before God. Oh, then, eternity. Oh, they'd rather be annihilated, as it were. Solemn, awful condition to rather be annihilated. Oh, but friend, 'tis not possible, for nothing can be hidden from the holy, pure, heart-searching eyes of omniscience, whose eyes we read are as a flame of fire, shall consume all ungodliness and all unholiness. See this, but oh friends, what about this? Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. And what about this? And from the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Yes, these are the Lord's enemies who fought against him, the holy, blessed Lamb of God, all their days. Oh, what we read in the parable shall verily be fulfilled. Bring them hither and slay them before me. We read, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? No, friend, sin shall not stand. It shall not prevail. The enemies of God shall not prevail. No, God is long-suffering. Think of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, how they were overthrown with that fiery furnace. What mercy that we are spared. Oh, for what purpose are we spared? What purpose has the world been spared? Why? Because there is a great multitude that shall be gathered into glory. And you see, this is of whom we read, of whom we read in our text, a great multitude. Why, beginning from the creation to the end of time. And then to consider this, what the elder said, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Now this was perplexing to John. He could not say. Why? What are these? Oh, shall I arrayed in white robes. You see, what a difference. Oh, there is the human race, guilty, wretched, fleeing before the face of the Lamb of God. Oh, the mountains cannot hide them. From the dens of the earth they shall be gathered as trembling, guilty criminals, as it were, arraigned before the bar of eternal justice and holiness and goodness of him who filleth all things. Oh, so are these really men? What are they? Are they really men and women? Why, it seems a mystery, incomprehensible. Oh, here, sinful, guilty man, on the one hand, oh, he's full of horror and terror. But here, oh, there is nothing but happiness, bliss, glory. You know, I've often been struck why the elder said to John, why, and I believe at least we may use this as like a parable, if it not be indeed found what, as it were, in the original, never mind. You know, I always often wonder, he could have said, who are these? Who are these people? You know, he said, what are these? Are these people? Why? Because on the one hand, oh, the inhabitants of the earth are in such a state of disarray. Oh, they're so deformed, and their faces gather blackness. Why, it's a great difference. Why, this is a glorious, happy, holy, heavenly multitude. But you know the next question, friend. You see, and whence came they? So, oh, how came they to be here? Yes, these are men. These are true men. Oh, perhaps there's some indeed that once we were acquainted with. Oh, perhaps there are some that we heard of, and they are there. How came they to be there? Whence came they? Whence did they come from? How? Which way did they come to heaven, to glory? And what a great question it is. Oh, that God may help us to lay it to heart. How did they get there? How shall they get there? Oh, John did not know, you know. Oh, he could not answer. Such a great thing it was. Oh, on the one hand, there were sinners, trembling sinners, cringing sinners, oh, whose hearts were failing them. Oh, there were black sinners. Oh, there were ugly sinners. Oh, there were terrified sinners. On the other hand, oh, there, yes, happiness, holiness, purity, glory. You see, what a great difference. Who can say how they got there? You know, whence came they? Now what I want to say is this. Oh, you know, it's not that they just said they believed. It's not that they just said, as it were, they were a Christian. God forbid. No, it's not that they just said certain prayers, as it were. God forbid. No, it's not that they went to a certain church. God forbid. No, it's not that indeed men thought very highly of them, respectable people that they were. God forbid. Though they may well have been. Yes. But no, it is not how they got there. Ah, friend, do you know how they got there? Oh, are you on the same road, on the same path? Now may the Lord in mercy grant we may search our hearts. Oh, Lord. Oh, give me a token. Put me in the right way. Have you ever prayed that prayer, friend? Have you ever desired that you might be undeceived, lest you be walking in the broad way to hell? The Lord knows. But really I want to come to this. In verse 14, here is the answer. Oh, that the Lord grant that we may receive in our hearts, oh, a token that we are amongst them and that we shall be amongst them. Oh, and if we find indeed that we answer not to this people, oh, that we might indeed, as it were, fall down and confess our sins. Now, to come to this then, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest who this happy, holy multitude are. Oh, when thousands are being cast into hell. Oh, when indeed, yea, there shall be those who shall shriek, or shall fade away with horror. As it were, we read it, all the nations of the earth shall wail because of him. Oh, then, at that time, oh, there shall be this great multitude. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, to wash their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And now so then, first, we have where they came from. See that question, whence came they? Well, we have where they came from. They came from a place of great tribulation. You know, this is a great truth, isn't it? If we are those who have no tribulation in our hearts and no tribulation in our lives, then we shall not be those who will be found amongst this multitude. And we might say further, if we're amongst those who are so in love with this world, friend, oh, that we count its pleasures, as it were, our best joys, our chiefest delights, then we certainly are not amongst these people. We will never be found amongst them. Oh, until we come into great tribulation. And secondly, oh, so slow of heart to believe we are, so foolish and blind we are by nature, that we think that tribulation is a mark of God against us. No, 'tis not. 'Tis but the beginning. 'Tis but the way to glory. I was going to say, is the beginning. Why, what I mean is this. Except we first have tribulation, we shall not there hereafter enter into heaven. We read, don't we? The apostle said, we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom. Ah, friend, faint not. Oh, be not surprised at the greatness of thy tribulation. You know, you must come into this word great. There are those who are at ease in Zion, you know. They never come into this word great. Great tribulation. But what we read here, these are they. Oh, these are they. These who are arrayed in white robes. We might say, and only they are those who came out of great tribulation. But you know, there's something very blessed here. No matter how great the tribulation be, oh, you cannot in one sense put a measurement upon the greatness of the tribulation. Because this word is such that the greater the tribulation that you might have, it does not throw you out of this word, but brings you to the very heart of it, friend. And bless God for that. But you know, it says, they came out. These are they which came out. That though once they're in the midst of great tribulation, yet they came out of it. Oh, that's good, is it not? They came out. The tribulation did not prevail upon them, though it be ever so great, but they were delivered out from it. They came up out of the tribulation. You might say, well, how did they come out of it? Because God delivered them from it. Yes. What do we read in Psalm 50? Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. What, will his word not stand? Oh, friend, this is how they came out. By prayer. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By prayer. This is how they came out of great tribulation. By looking up unto Jesus. Say, friend, now, this word looking is expressive, perhaps, of the very smallest activity of faith. You see, where the Lord says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, That word signifies, turn your face towards me, though you be at the ends of the earth. This was the word that was spoken to the Israelites who were had sinned against God and were on the desert floor dying, oh, with pain and paralysis, with those poisonous snakes that bit them. And God's bid Moses lift up that brazen serpent on high. Yes, in the shape of those poisonous snakes, but no venom, no sin. Oh, Christ, a beautiful type, lifted up on high. But you know, the word was look unto it. Look unto this serpent. And that word signifies turn the face. Oh, be sure that there were some Israelites, as it were, a long way off from that brazen serpent. But, you know, it's as they desire to look. And so whatever movement they had left, as they moved with the strength they had left to turn towards it, no matter how clearly they could see it, they lived. It was the turning of the face towards it. That was the faith, oh, of God's elect. They turned, though they were dying, though they were weak, although they were, as it were, on the brink of death, yet they turned their face to look towards it. And you see, how can we pray to God if we turn not our face towards God? Oh, friend, these are those who come out, those in who in their troubles turn to God. And turn to Christ. For no man has seen God at any time, neither can any man see the face of God and live. But there is a place by him whereby he may be sought, or whereby he may be found, whereby he may be known, whereby sinners may hide in him. That's the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, art thou in the midst of thy days? Art thou in the midst of thy tribulation? Turn unto him, friend. Oh, now this is the word of the gospel. What a word it is. Turn unto me, says the Lord. But this great tribulation, friend, is very great. You know, we read, do we not, of Jacob's trouble. In Jeremiah chapter 29, I believe, there's nothing like it. This is not just the ordinary tribulation of the world, though it's included. Yea, and you may have more than your fair measure of it, if it be the will of the Lord. Yea, it may be instrumental in bringing you to fall before him. But there's yet even a greater tribulation spoken of, that none of the inhabitants of this world who shall live and die in this world shall know of. And that's tribulation in your soul. This is the tribulation of being a sinner, afar off from God. And this is the tribulation of having an enemy of your soul, all who will come and assault you and tempt you, seek to entice you, seek to destroy you. For be sure of this, he cometh not against the world as he cometh against his people, against the people of God. No. Now, but you see, great tribulation. You know what Job said? Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Great tribulation. I go forward, but he's not there. Backward, cannot perceive from the left hand or on the right hand. Wherever I go, I cannot find God. Once I did, now I do not. It's a solemn place that is. We read in Isaiah, do we not, those who are walking in darkness and have no light. What about that? You've been there, friend. You say, what is it to be walking in darkness, have no light? That word light means no shining of light. Did you once know what it was for the light to shine upon you? Oh, then if you have it not any longer, it'll be great tribulation. Yes, these are they which came out of great tribulation. We might then say, oh, here is great mercy. Oh, here is a great wonder. Here is something which is peculiar to the elect. Here are God's people revealed. Yes, they came out of great tribulation. But what I want to come to in particular is what we read next. These are they which came out of great tribulation. Oh, the tribulation. See, what happens in tribulation? There's tears. There's distress. There's anguish. If tribulation be tribulation, and if the tribulation be great, oh, there must be tears, friend, or else it's not real tribulation. Oh, this word tribulation signifies anguish, affliction, burdens, a soul pressed and bowed down. Or it might be, it signify persecutions. Or it might signify painful afflictions. Or it might signify soul burdens. Oh, certainly it will signify burdens of sin. Yea, it might signify anguish of mind, anguish of soul. You know what we read of heaven at the end of chapter 7? Oh, friend, if you never wept, you won't go to heaven. In heaven, read a certain thing that will happen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's from the eyes of this multitude, the eyes of all who are in heaven. And all their tears will be wiped away. We say again, it's clear, is it not? Heaven won't be heaven to you, friend. You've got no tears to wipe away. Oh, blessed be God. Though you be in great tribulation, yet is not, as it were, a mark against you that you're not one of this multitude. Rather, no, take courage. Oh, rather the word is, look up. God is able. God will deliver you. God will not suffer any of his word to fall to the ground, any of those promises. Yea, every soul that calls upon his name shall be saved. This tribulation is the means in God's hand to bring you to glory, because without this tribulation, friend, you would not turn, you would not weep before the Lord, you would not seek him, and you would not call upon his blessed name. But now you must do it in the earnest of your soul. Now you must do it, though the whole world do it not. Now you must go to that secret place. Oh, if perhaps you might pour out your heart before God, and if there was no tribulation, friend, never would you do such a thing. Is that not true? Blessed be the name of the Lord. These are they. They're chosen of God. They're chosen in the furnace of affliction. Not to be destroyed, but to be refined. For he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver to purify the sons of Levi. He who died for his people will bring the third part. Oh, 2/3 will be cut off. All their dross and their tin will be purged away and burned in the furnace of affliction. But the third will be left. That new man of grace will come forth as gold. I say, we might have said it on the Sabbath, Sabbath. I say, friend, oh, how will you think to praise God if you have some love of sin in your heart? You cannot. It is impossible. No. First, we must be purged. But to come to this then, you know, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? These are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. You know what this says, friend? This is the great miracle. This is the great wonder. This is the great truth, which God, John could not at first comprehend until it was revealed to him. These were sinners. These once were wretched, defiled, ugly, unclean, filthy sinners. You can't say that one sin, friend, will not render you filthy before God, unclean and unrighteous. Why? Righteousness is an unbroken law. If there's one dent in righteousness, it's not righteous anymore. It's worthy to be discarded and cast off. Is it not? How can you say that something is righteous when it's not righteous altogether? When there's impurity in it? When there's sin? It might be just one sin. It might be just one lie that you've told. Friend, you're guilty before God. You know what we read in Psalm 101? He that telleth lies shall not live in my house, shall not dwell in my house, shall not dwell in my presence. Likewise, he that worketh deceit. And what do we read about our hearts? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. For he that worketh deceit, friend, shall not dwell in the house of God. Why, just to quote that properly. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. See, friend, where does that find you? What do we read of that man in that parable? When the king in that parable had a wedding for his son, was it? And he called his guests. And one came in, friend, wearing his own clothes. Wearing his own heart. With his old heart, friend. With the heart that he was born in. And born with. When he was born in this world, he came into, shall we say, the heavenly court, the heavenly house, the king's house, with his old heart, with his own heart. Oh, what was deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. No, what did Jesus say? You must be born again. You must have a new heart. God must come. He must work. He must cleanse. As we read, oh friend, this is enough to cast you out of heaven and me, except for one thing, that we be washed and cleansed from all of our sins and all of our deceitfulness and all of our wickedness. Is not that what this word here says? He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire. You'll say, well, I've never told any lies. Though if you said that, friend, to me, I wouldn't believe you. But nevertheless, you might think it. friend, do you remember what Pilate said to the Lord Jesus? What is truth? Do you remember what the blessed Lord Jesus himself did speak? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, friend, if Jesus is the truth, then art thou living a lie? You say, what do you mean? I mean, is Jesus your truth? Is he the truth in your heart? Oh, is your life lived in truth? Say, how can it be lived in truth? Only if it's lived in Jesus. If you live away from him, you're living a lie. Or you're following the deceits of Satan, who says, come and have the world and I'll give you pleasure and happiness. And you won't need God anymore. Dreadful lie. But to come back to this word, oh, what a word it is. What's contained in it? Friend, why? Salvation. Salvation for sinners. Why? Those who are destined, as it were, on the road to hell. You see, now when I say destined, I mean, if God, left to themselves, what they deserve, the road they were going in. You can't say it's not. No. Otherwise, salvation is not salvation. But salvation is salvation, friend. Oh, blessed be God, it's real, it's true. There's power in salvation. Power to save from hell. Oh, why? Because God loves his people. He will save them. He's chosen them to salvation. Except he chose them to salvation, friend, they'll be damned with all those who've fallen in Adam. But to come to this most precious word, there's hope here. These are they. Yea, they're not, as it were, superhumans and of a different birth. Oh, they're not. No, these are those who are born, as it were, born as children of wrath. Oh, these are like others as they were born. The apostle confessed it, did he not? Oh, and these are those who are found in trouble, in distress, in anguish, in burdens. So, the gospel is the gospel of hope. Although we be in great distress and burdens, this is the word of the gospel. In the midst of them, it calls to us to look up, to look to God, and above all things, and above all else, to look to Christ. Oh, but you sound such a wretched, unworthy sinner. How can I look to him? Because it's my heart. Oh, it's my life. Oh, it's my forgetfulness of God. Oh, it's my unbelief. Oh, it's my love of the world. Oh, it's these besetting sins that daily come upon me. Oh, it's my weakness. Oh, I cannot look because I'm so ungodly, I'm so wretched, I'm so unholy. I dare not look lest I be consumed. God must be angry with me. He must cast me off now. Ah. Oh. No, this is not what the word says, does it? These are they which came out of great tribulation and washed their robes. Once their robes were dirty, once they were defiled, once they were spotted, once they were blemished, with sins unmentionable, sins innumerable, no matter how deep their dye, here is a perfect, cleansing. Oh, here is a complete washing. And friend, it's not, oh, they don't make it clean themselves. They don't make it white themselves. That is, they don't, as it were, oh, by their own ingenuity, cause their sinful garments to be made white. No, there's something else. See, he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. You know, friend, be not ashamed to weep, but weep before God. Go and weep before God and pour out your heart to him. See, it's a good word that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. See, that precious blood of Jesus, this is the fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, this is how they came to be arrayed in white robes. Oh, they realized how sinful and ugly and wretched they were. Oh, it was, they saw themselves in the mirror of God's holy word and realized they needed to be cleansed and washed. Oh, this precious gospel declared to them, there's a precious fountain, the blood of Jesus. Oh, it cleanses from all sin. Yea, and it bids, why, it called to them. He said, come unto me. Oh, come and wash your garments. See, these are they which came out of great tribulation and washed their robes. Once they were sinners. Once they were unworthy. Once they were wretched. Oh, once they were wounded by sin. Once they were defiled by sin. But now they've been washed and cleansed and purified. What by? Not what they've done, but by the fountain in which they've been washed, the precious blood of Jesus. And what this gospel declares is every soul, oh, that longs to be washed, shall be washed. Every soul that, oh, seeks to be washed, every soul that is exercised that they might be washed and cleansed. Every soul that hears of this precious fountain, of this precious Saviour, and longs and desires that they, oh, might be partakers of this great salvation, they might be saved, shall be saved. You see, this is the sense of the word that we have here, and have washed. Oh, the sense is that they came to be washed, and they were. They came to be washed. Oh, they weren't turned away. They weren't turned back. Oh no, they were filthy. Why? You see, and have washed their robes. They sought the blood of the Lamb. They sought the Lamb of God. They sought the Saviour of the world. And now they're white. Pure, they're clean, they're holy, they're cleansed, they're saved. What a great thing it is, friend. See, now just come to this. Oh, what did they wash in? What was it they cleansed their life? Now what I want to say is this, friend, our life is like a robe. See, a robe is cast all around us. It encircles us. You know, friend, this is the solemn truth that we have set before us. When we come to die, our life that we've lived on this earth will be the robe that we shall appear before God in. Yes, our life, whether it be good or whether it be bad, it will encircle us. It will be us. It will be seen upon us. Oh, he'll be wrapped around us, perpetually upon us. How solemn is that? Here's another life. Ah, you see, here we have the blood of the Lamb. Oh, here we have a sacrifice. Here we have one laying down his life. The lamb, a sacrifice. That lamb is Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord. Called the lamb because Christ Jesus the Lord laid down his life as a sacrifice to save his people's lives. That is, he gave his life for them. And this is what the precious blood of Jesus signifies. It signifies the giving of the life of Christ for his people. Oh, this is why the precious blood of Jesus washes their life robe, makes it white. Oh, because that precious blood signifies the pouring out of the life of Jesus and the giving of the life of Jesus. As that precious blood signified his life. And it was poured out upon the earth. Precious, precious life given. Precious sacrifice. Oh, you see, now he could not die for his own sake. His life was pure, holy, spotless. Oh, gloriously white. Whiter than any snow in the earth. Why? More shining glorious than the brightest sun. None could love God as the Son of God could and did. And none could love his neighbor as himself as Christ Jesus did. His righteousness, friend, of his life that he lived on this earth. Oh, he had no need to live it for himself, blessed be his name. He was ever the righteous Son of God. He came down to be born of a woman and under the law of God, he might live under that law. Oh, that he might live a life that we could never live. But the righteousness of that life which he lived was the righteousness that Jehovah has brought out. It must needs be perfect. It must needs be glorious. The pure, perfect life of Jesus on this earth. He lived it not for himself. He lived it for his people's sakes and that he might give it for them. And so, and here's a blessed exchange. Oh, not only might give his life for them, but he might, take away their burdens. Oh, he might die for their sins. You see, now here we have this precious blood of Christ, the blood of the Lamb. Oh, as Jesus died for his people, as he suffered for me, it signifies the sufferings of Christ. He suffered for their sins. It's the payment, the penalty, the price of the redemption of our souls from sin, from transgression. Oh, it's the price of the pardon of our sins. Here in the sufferings of the Lamb. Oh, how great they were. But this word, the blood of the Lamb, signifies that one suffered for us. Signifies that Jesus has suffered. Oh, so it signifies here, this precious blood signifies the pardon of sin. Oh, the redemption from the penalty of the law, deliverance from condemnation. Oh, but you see, that precious blood cleanses from sin. Not only pardons sin, but it cleanses. Oh, it makes an atonement. Because it's, the lovely, holy life of Jesus was poured out for sinners' sakes. So that he stood in their room place instead. His life for their life. How beautiful is that? And by the precious blood of Jesus, his life is seen upon them. And their garments become whiter than snow and more shining than the midday sun. And just one or two words then about the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, why this is therefore the sinner's plea. The the sinner's plea. You might say, whence came they? How came they to be arrayed in white robes? Because they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, it was their plea. Oh, they came to this fountain and pleaded that they might be washed. It is therefore the sinner's only hope. The blood of the Lamb is the sinner's only hope. Blessed be God, you've got no other hope but than the blood of the Lamb. It's the sinner's only hope. But what a hope it is. Now you see, when I said it was the sinner's only plea and it was the sinner's plea, remember this. Who he shed his precious blood for? He shed it for sinners. Ah, you say, but I want to know that he shed it for me. But friend, you can't deny, can you, that you're a sinner? So you can't deny that he shed it for the likes of you, can you? Oh, no, you cannot deny that. Therefore, can you not put in a plea? Oh, can you not say, Lord, I'm filthy, black, polluted and wretched, but thou didst shed thy precious blood for such. Oh, therefore, wash me and cleanse me. What saith it? The word is nigh thee. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Oh, that's in the precious blood of the Lamb. From all unrighteousness, here's your plea, here's your hope. Friend, and this blood is called the blood of the everlasting covenant. Those exceeding great and precious promises that God has sworn that in blessing he will bless. And what's he blessed in? Promised in his beloved son. He will bless the coming sinner because he will never cast them out. Oh, he will forgive their sins because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Yay. Ah, that precious blood is sealed and made those promises good and sure and certain. Therefore it's called the blood of the everlasting covenant. It sealed the covenant. Therefore, because of the infinite virtue and merit, oh, and sin cleansed in virtue and merit of this precious blood that was shed for sinners, so that the coming sinner shall be blessed by God. Therefore these trembling wretches upon the earth may look up. They may plead, or they may come, though they be like outcasts, or they may plead the precious sin cleansing, oh, sin purging, sin pardoning, soul delivering, soul justifying, life-giving blood of Emmanuel. See, we often say, friend, when we're coming to die, what will we want? I tell you what we'll want, friend. We'll want one to have died for us. I say when we're coming to die, we'll want one to have died for us. And that one is Jesus, none other. Is that not true? Oh, say it must be true. We cannot presume, can we? Oh, we want to come with this exercise that we might be washed. We might be cleansed. Now what did the Lord Jesus say? If ye shall ask anything in my name, oh, blessed name, virtuous name, he is able, is he not willing? I will do it. So what does that mean? If we shall ask anything promised in his name, he will do it. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Oh, precious word. See that great multitude. They've washed their robes from the defilement, from the filthiness, from the blackness of their sins. See, in that precious fountain which has been opened for sin and for uncleanness. Now, what I want to come further is this also. Therefore, are they before the throne of God. Friend, oh, may the Lord grant the solemnity, the greatness of this word may affect us all our days. Oh, what was it? The throne of God, the throne of the eternal heavenly King. You know, we read somewhere that this was the sin of the devil. That when God commanded the angels to bow before his beloved Son, he refused. But, oh, those who bow before him, oh, those who submit themselves and yield themselves unto him, they'll one day be before the throne because he shed his precious blood for them. But this word, you see, therefore are they before the throne of God. Is there any other place you would wish to be, friend, to all eternity? Oh, I tell you where any other place will be, friend. Oh, if you're not before this throne, you'll be sinking to rise no more. What would you? A few small, terrifying... Well, what do you read of the pleasure of this world, the happiness of this world, the laughter of the fools of this world? It's like the crackling of thorns soon burned up. Is that not true? Ah, but to be before the throne is endless joy, endless bliss, endless happiness. Oh, it's pure delight. What read we? Why, there'll be no more night there, no more pain, no more sorrow. Oh, no more darkness, friend. Only the light of life shining upon them. But we, as we mentioned before, there's something else. The love of God. Oh, the embrace of God. Oh, they will not only be in paradise. They'll be in the midst of paradise. They'll be with the Lord. Oh, and we read how near they'll be to him. How dear they are to him. Oh, that he himself will embrace them in glory. As he himself, you know, as we, a parent wipes away the tears of their child who's been injured or is upset or afraid, they can't wipe them away, as it were, at arm's length very easily, can they? No, so what they do is they draw them nigh. Oh, and they bring them close, that they might tenderly wipe away their tears. And this is what God will do to his beloved bride. I just want to say one more thing, then I'll close. See, that precious blood, friend, is not only that which will cleanse your soul from all sin. Blessed be the name of the Lord, it will. Oh, that we might plead it more. But you know, those who come to shelter under that blood, may the Lord grant that we might be found there, sheltering under the blood, because nothing else can cleanse us, cleanse our souls. Nothing else. Those who come and seek to shelter under that blood, come under the banner of God's love. Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus did not lay down his life as the Lamb of God, but because he loved them with an everlasting love, but because his love, the height of it, the depth of it, the length of it, the breadth of it, passeth all knowledge and all understanding. Therefore the blood of the Lamb, as it sprinkled upon the heart, oh, brings the kisses of God's mouth to your soul. Brings the embrace of the everlasting arms. Oh, and so, yea, is not this the very entrance into glory? And he, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest who these are. You know, so just one more thing. God knows who his people are, friend. He made no mistake. He knows who he's washed. Oh, in the precious blood of his son. He knows who they are that plead the precious blood. Make no mistake. That's a great comfort, you know. Do you pray? God knows it. Do you see? God knows it. He makes no mistake. These are they which have came out of great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God. Amen. To sing hymn number 1044. Water from salvation's wells, thirsty sinner, come and draw. Grace in Jesus' fullness dwells, more than men or angels know. the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, we pray. Amen.